is our Christmas, to be honest with you. Today is our Christmas.
Amen.
Oh, this is the day, hallelujah, that we really find out about the gift of God. And it is on this day that, we celebrate our MVP, our most valuable player, our champion, the most victorious player of all time. And today, we who believe, we reaffirm that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that God magnificently gave him to us. Thank you, Dr. Kendra, for reminding of that, of us to mourning about that. And God gave him that whosoever, that's me, that's you, that's everybody that's on this call, and those who are not even thinking about the Lord right now, but whosoever should believe on him should not perish, but shall. Not might, not maybe, not perhaps, but shall have everlasting life in the world to come, and life more abundantly in the life that is. I hope that you agree with him who is truth this morning along with me. So as we celebrate Resurrection Sunday, this is the day, I need to say this, this is a day to separate the ecclesia, the body of Christ, the daughters and the sons of the Most High God, from Islam and from Judaism. Yes, the three great religions that grow out of the father of faith, the patriarch Abraham, agree that Jehovah and or Allah, and that word Allah is in the Old Testament too. If you study the Hebrew, you will find it there. But they agree that that there is God, and above him there is no other. Yeah, we agree on that. We agree. Yes, the great religions, the three of them, believe in the existence of Jesus as a man and as a prophet. But today is the day that those realities are enhanced and truth is revealed, because on this day, let the Redeemer of the Lord say so, that we celebrate that God was in Christ. God was in Christ, reconciling man back unto him, himself. Let those that have an ear to hear, let them hear. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So Jesus Christ is not some historical figure. He is not dead. He's not some figment of our imaginations. He is both fully God and fully man. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. And in fact, he is present with us on this call, and he indeed is in our midst this morning. The Calvary, do you hear me? The Calvary is coming, Major, and we declare that he is the unquestionable truth. I read where John said in Revelation 19 and 11, "Now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, Faithful and True, Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war." Right on, King Jesus. Right on, King Jesus. The Calvary is coming all again. In celebration of this glorious Resurrection Sunday, I ask that you just turn with me briefly to the book of Luke. The book of Luke. I don't know if you're going old school with the Bible in your hand, or if you're going new school with your iPad or with your iPhone, but the book of Luke, chapter 24. We don't even have to, you know, you can just Google Luke and get to it, and then just go to chapter 24. We're not having Bible drill this morning like we would just in WWC, but Luke chapter 24. And I want to read verses 13 through 32. As I was inspired to do so this morning. Beginning at verse 13. "Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were strained so that they did not know him. And he said to them, 'What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad?' And then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, "Are you the only one stranger in Jerusalem, and have you not known the things which happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What thing?" So they said to him, "The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. Then he said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone farther. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread. It's communion, y'all. Hallelujah. He took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, Did not our heart burn within us while he spake with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? May God open our hearts and our minds and our ears delicately and intimately to hear the truth of his son. Amen. For many of us, I know that we want to walk or leave this fellowship with a thought, and so I have a thought for you, and it is the unquestionable truth. The unquestionable truth. Our text today, Dr. Kendra, is written by Luke. I'm sure, Dr. Kendra, you can relate to Luke, who was a physician, as yourself, and an awesome author, too. I don't know if he could play the keyboards like you, Dr. Kendra, but he was a great author, great writer. Dr. Luke was not one of the 12 disciples and is regarded as being actually a Gentile. But he was commissioned by Theophilus to give an accurate account of the humanity and deity of Christ, and wrote the books that we refer to as St. Luke and the Acts of the Apostle. Again, it reminds me, Dr. Kendra, that medicine and the Messiah ain't at odds with each other. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Amen.
So Dr. Luke shares with us an account of two disciples who were followers of Jesus Christ, but not a part of the inner circle that we commonly refer to as the 12 disciples. And I'm thankful that Dr. Luke, as the author here, shares with us this account of these two disciples and their experience with Christ on their way to Emmaus. It is a reminder to all of us, and especially when we are having those moments of discouragement, those moments of an identity crisis, when we feel that we are not a part of the inner circle, when we are feeling like we're second class, third class citizens, if you will, that Jesus draws near unto us on this journey that we call life. The Lord, I believe, is drawing near right now to speak to us, to hear us, to heal us, to comfort us, and to take us to the next level in relationship with God and also with each other. So I'm glad to share with you. I got about 3 points here, but I want to share with you this first point. And that is that regardless of what we are going through, pandemic, COVID-19, might have lost your job, hallelujah. Don't forget the importance of friendship. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I got a lot of family. I got a lot of family. I got some families on this call right now, but it's better when you got family and friends. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. We need each other. Don't forget that. We may have our issues at times, but don't forget that we need each other and that we need to be there to come to each other rescue. I'm reminded of the scripture that says that there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. There is, if you will, a friend that sticks closer than a sister. May I call you my friend on this Resurrection Sunday? We all need a friend who we can talk to, who we can have a dialogue with when we are going through the ups and the downs of life. How pleasant it is to have a friend that you can confer with as wise counsel when it concerns the godly and the lovely things of Jesus Christ. How awesome to have a friend that can help you through the roller coaster experience that we share in these so-called United States of America to gather and steady ourselves as needed for our own emotional and mental and physical and spiritual therapy. In my spiritual yet still finite mind, I can imagine that these two disciples were in their own paradox of life. And there was a predicament on the path to Emmanuel. Like there was, as we preached last week, a predicament at the wedding party where Christ performed his first miracle. They were at a crossroad between the pain of the past, the Friday night beatdown, and the predicament of the future, not knowing the reality of the resurrection. Do you feel me this morning? Have you been there? Between the weeping that endures for the night and the joy that comes in the morning, have you been there? I'm sure, I think you talked about this, Dr. Kendrick, in your prayer. I'm sure that they were suffering from PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. I'm sure that they were dealing in real time with the shock and awe that they have killed my boy. If you will, and they took their need of political, religious, governmental, and military power to my boy's neck and crushed out his life. Elder Bobby, I heard Jesus crying out on the cross. He wasn't crying out for his mama, but he was saying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Did you hear me this morning? Hallelujah, hallelujah. I believe some of y'all can relate to what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. I heard Jesus crying out on the cross. And not for my good colleague and my good friend who was on MSNBC this morning, Ben Crump, but he wasn't calling for Ben. But he was saying, Father, forgive them. Hallelujah. For they know not what they do. With my spiritual imagination, I am sure that the two disciples, in their attempt to cope with the pain of the past and to find hope in the purpose of the future, they found solace in each other on that 7-mile journey to Emmanuel. And while these two friends were walking and deliberating the facts, as a jury would deliberate the evidence placed before them, Sister Ursula, during a criminal trial, I'm sure that they were struggling with how they could arrive at some logical and reasonable conclusion as to who Jesus is. Was he just a prophet or was he truly the Messiah, the Son of God? And so here, let me get to point two. While they were walking, hallelujah, while they were walking. The truth, hallelujah, who we know as Christ Jesus, snuck up behind them and drew near. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Walk with me again through verses 15 through 17. So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained, so that they did not know him. And he said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? Note here the unquestionable truth. Are you still with me? Are you still with me? Are you still with me? It came not as a divine statement. It didn't come as a powerful revelation. Truth came in the form, Elder Bobby, of a well-placed question. What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? Have you ever been minding your own business, family, traveling to your next business appointment, preparing for your next Zoom call? And all of a sudden, a question pops to your mind and penetrates your heart. The unquestionable truth, I'm talking about Jesus Christ here, ask them a simple question. And in my own vernacular, I can hear the question something like this. What are y'all talking about that got y'all so jacked up and depressed? What y'all talking about? Cleopas, one of the two disciples, responds to truth with the proverbial, if you will, man, don't you know what's going on? Don't you know the facts about what went down this week? Have you been watching CNN, MSNBC, or Fox to know what's going on? Man, don't you know about Jesus, the prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people? Man, don't you know about how the political elite took him out and condemned him to death and crucified him? And we trusted that it was he who should have redeemed Israel, but he gone now. And we can't even find his body. But Jesus, hallelujah, but Jesus, who is unquestionable truth, snuck up on the facts and reminded the two disciples that the suffering of Christ was not a mistake and was foretold in the scriptures. And Jesus took them back to the scriptures and it is written to enlighten their minds to see that his sufferings were necessary as a predicate for him to enter into the glory of God. I'm praying, my beloved family and friends, that soon and very soon that we, by the power of God, can move to a greater depth perception. Hallelujah. I'm praying that we can go deeper in the scriptures, where we can lose the color of facts and can lovingly embrace the reality of the truth, who is Christ Jesus. It reminds me of an experience that I shared with my own bride, Chiquita. Thank God for you, baby. And what we shared during our honeymoon in Maui, hallelujah, hallelujah. We were fortunate to take a submarine ride. The most powerful thing that I learned, hallelujah. That's a Gainesville thing. The most powerful thing that I learned on our submarine ride is that as we went deeper to the bottom of the Pacific Ocean, we got to a certain point that you could no longer see the beautiful colors of the fish. All you could see was the fish without the color. We couldn't even see the color of our own clothes. My point here is that too often we are beguiled with the beauty of the surface. That old devil who has colorfully camouflaged doubt and discontent, sin and shame, unrighteousness and wicked works. But when we start traveling in the submarine of the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, we will find a greater perception that will move us from the facts to faith. Hallelujah. In the Holy Spirit, the light will come on and he will guide us into all truth so we can see clearly. Hallelujah. Oh, God, the black and the white, that the wages of sin is death. So I ask you this morning, how is your self-perception? Hallelujah, this morning. Ah, God, ah, God. So as I'm drawing nearer to my close, I'll go with you again to verse 16. Hallelujah. It won't be long now. Not long. But verse 16 says this. But the eyes were restrained.
Amen.
So that they did not know him. The verse here remains a mystery to theologians, Elder Bobby, and gifted authors of various commentaries. There is no simple or quick explanation as to why the two disciples could not recognize who Jesus was while walking and talking with him. He was a man who they had prior experience with, a man who they had history with and had full knowledge of, but they were unaware that he was Jesus Christ. Did God supernaturally diminish their ability to see him? Were they so overtaken with grief and sadness that they could not see him? Was the body and presence of Jesus so altered in his glorified state that his identity was concealed? All of these are rational and reasonable questions to ponder, and to which I have no answer. But the mystery brings me to my own reality. Seeing ain't believe. Seeing ain't knowing. Hallelujah. That's why the word says we walk by faith. Hallelujah. I wonder if I got some by faith folks with me on this call this morning. But we walk by faith. Hallelujah. And not by sight. We can read the scriptures all we want to. We can pray all we want to. We can talk to Jesus all we want to. But do we recognize him as Lord? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. As risen and is over our lives. The unresolved matter as to why the two disciples initially did not recognize Jesus and failed to connect the dots of the scriptures to real time, hallelujah, begs the question of myself, hallelujah. When Avery, where Avery, and why Avery do you miss that Christ, hallelujah, is in the crisis? When, where, and why do you miss that Christ is, hallelujah, in the crisis? Huh? And I take a personal liberty right now to spell crisis, CRY-SIS, the crisis. I thank God for my niece Dutchess, hallelujah. On Friday, she sent us a song written by Kirk Franklin and Richard Smallwood. As soon as I saw it came from Kirk Franklin, you know, when you're dealing with people in my family, you got to ask them, man, what's up? I didn't know she was trying to say something to me. She's trying to be funny. And she said, Hunk, man, come on now. Just listen to the song. Man, I listened to a song written by Kirk Franklin and Richard Smallwood entitled Don't Cry. It's a beautiful song. You should listen to it when you get a chance today. Hallelujah. But I have the lyrics in front of me, and the lyrics are these. Why do you cry? He has risen. Why are you weeping? He's not dead. Why do you cry? He has risen. Why are you weeping? He's not dead. He paid it all on that lonely highway, and his anointing I can see. Shed his blood for my transgression. And by his stripes, we are healed. Hallelujah. Why did you cry? He has risen. Why are you weeping? He's not dead. So as you go through life's journey, don't you worry. Lift up your head. Don't you cry. Stop your weeping. He has risen. He's not dead. So I ask each of you this morning, as I close, can we see him this morning as the resurrection and the life? Can we hear him this morning as the way, the truth, and the life? Can we testify this morning as they're the two disciples who spoke to the unquestionable truth and asked, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? Hallelujah. So today, if there's anyone on this call, either for yourself or for a loved one who needs a buzzer beater. I don't know if y'all saw the game last night. Hallelujah. But if you need a buzzer beater, hallelujah, a three-point shot that we come to know as the resurrection of Jesus Christ on that third day, just join with me, hallelujah, in this prayer. Father, I lift up every person and family on this call. I pray, Father, for perfect peace and the well-being in every aspect and dimension of our life. Make us whole again. Make us pure again. Please overtake our minds and our hearts, which have been degraded by the facts of sin and unbelief. Anoint us and destroy all yokes so we may embrace truth and confess with our mouths moment by moment the Lord Jesus. Believe in our hearts that you have raised him from the dead. We declare that his confession has now been made as to Christ. Oh, God, we pray that you will restore us and forgive each of us for our sins. Cleanse us, revive us, restore us, heal us, comfort us, transform us, and fill us with your Holy Spirit. In the authority, grace, and truth of Christ Jesus, we pray unto you and declare that we now have the victory. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
What a verse.